before we get started, I just want to give you a little quick bit of background on this podcast. Basically, one of my favorite ones that we've ever done, a mock for the upcoming trade deadline. But beforehand, if you have time, I would suggest listening to our trade deadline previews for each division. If we haven't already, Danny and I have done those over the past week or two, and that can really kind of set the scene for what these teams' motivations are, who the players are that might get moved. So give that a listen first if you have time, or just jump right in. I'm sure it'll be great either way.
The day is finally here. The Dunked On Basketball Podcast mock trade deadline episode. We've been thinking about doing this ever since we did the mock offseason last year before free agency. And joining me are the three guys in the NBA media I think are most qualified to do this. Let's say hello first to Kevin Pelton of ESPN.
You could just say the three geekiest and cover it like that.
And our next geek, Dan Feldman of NBC.
Hey, how's it going?
And of course, Danny LaRue of the internet.
It's an honor to be included.
All right, so here's how we're going to do this, basically. Kevin has essentially the good West team, and then Danny is some of the bad West teams. Don't take it too personally, Utah. I mean, we're kind of more even than bad good. We kind of divided it up as more buyers and sellers. So Danny kind of has more of the West sellers. All right, I have the East buyers, although I actually will be doing a little bit more selling potentially. That is the Chicago Bulls, Miami Heat, Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors, Cleveland Cavaliers, Indiana Pacers, Boston Celtics, and Washington Wizards. And Dan, what are your teams?
Great transition, Dan. I've got the East sellers.
All right, so obviously we're doing this in real time. We might mess up some small details, you know, like trade bonuses or small stuff. It's probably not going to be perfect, but we're going to do our best with all of the brain power here. The format, basically, we're going to start off by talking about some of the real good players, many of whom are not necessarily likely to be traded, but who we're just going to kind of gauge the market for, see what's out there. And then we'll kind of move on beyond that to teams just proposing trades or saying what their needs are and seeing if we can fit it. So it's going to be an interesting roller coaster ride. Let's get started with Kevin Pelton. I believe the Clippers have someone they might want to gauge the market for.
Yeah, all the discussions that are going around now about Blake Griffin and his injured right hand. What are you guys willing to offer for him?
Celtics here, we obviously have the most assets on the boards, 5 extra first-round picks in addition to all of our own. We also just have a crap ton of seconds. We have plenty of good contracts on the roster as well. And you're familiar with what our assets are. We would love to pick up a guy like Blake Griffin. His contract does expire in 2017. That makes us a little leery as an ETO, which he'll almost certainly exercise that summer. But is there any package that we could put together at all, Clippers, that would interest you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in Jay Crowder. He fits sort of the mold of what we've been doing with Blake Griffin out of the lineup when we've been very successful and could slot him into that Luka Bamute role. So there's definitely some interest there, you know, maybe some of the guards. But the big issue here is, you know, so much of your trade capital is draft picks. And we're playing for right now. Chris Paul is in his 30s. Unless you can find another team to bring us, I think, another contributor who's going to be part of our, you know, a key part of our rotation using one of those picks, I just don't know if there's enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, something like Kelly Olynyk and Jay Crowder, and then maybe one of the picks as well. Because I feel like maybe we could keep you probably about, you'll probably finish if you make that trade for Crowder and Olynyk and one of the picks, you finish probably in the same place in the West this year as you're going to anyway with Blake. We don't even know when he's going to be back with that broken hand. And then now you've got more assets for the future to sort of stay good for longer. It's just a question of whether you're interested in that or not.
Yeah, and the question is ultimately the playoffs, because I feel like if I'm Doc Rivers, yeah, that lineup is probably going to be pretty good in the regular season. We'll certainly finish fourth in the Western Conference. But when I get into a second round series against Golden State and they start taking the ball out of Chris Paul's hands and loading up against him defensively, who else on my team is going to create?
All right, so that's basically a no right now for the Celtics. Is there anyone else who would like to make an offer for Blake Griffin right now?
magic here. I'm guessing we're going to get a no for similar reasons, but we could package something around Tobias Harris, maybe Victor Oladipo also. Is there a combination of players on our team that would interest you, or are we a little too young right now?
Yeah, I mean, Oladipo is more along the type of player that I think we'd need because, you know, he'd give us, again, a second creator. But I think it'd be more ideal if that guy could play small forward. You know, if I'm finishing games with him and J.J. Redick on the wing, that's going to be a little tough for me to match up with a team like Oklahoma City.
Well, we could put in Tobias Harris, too. Would you be interested in both?
I mean, yeah, but at some point I can only put five of these guys on the court at a time. So.
Well, so Clippers, is it accurate that you are only interested in a deal that lets you stay as good this year or potentially better this year?
Thinking as Doc Rivers here, yes. And as Steve
Paul. Actually, yeah, Jason Concepcion had a great one today. He called him the GM Rock. I don't know whether it was Rock Divers or Rock Divers. But
I think it's Rock Divers.
Rock Divers. So that is the GM of the Clippers, a completely separate person from Doc Rivers. Toronto here, what about a package centered around DeMar DeRozan, who is going to be a pending free agent?
I mean, that's somewhat intriguing because, you know, I feel he'll certainly re-sign with the Clippers, being an LA guy. And again, that gives us the second creator. We play a little bit smaller. I mean, I think we probably need Damari Carroll to become that stretch four in this new small ball Clippers team.
Yeah, that's interesting for me if I'm Toronto, because Blake Griffin and Kyle Lowry is obviously a great combination, but if you give up DeRozan and Carroll, you really have no wings for this year. I mean, I guess we could take back, you know, whatever flotsam wings you've been getting by with. And you almost basically, if you make that trade, you almost just become a worse version of the Clippers, but you're also in the East. So that could actually be really interesting. Now, I have no idea. I mean, the issue though there is, does Blake want to re-sign or not? But since the main guy would be giving up is a guy who's not as good as him and is also going to be a free agent, I would absolutely do that deal with Clippers with DeMar and Damari Carroll. And, you know, that would be fantastic if you're down to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most interesting offer on the board to me so far, even though, you know, maybe on paper, those guys, I mean, you're getting an all-star. So that's more interesting. I'm still not sure, you know, unless I'm really upset about Blake Griffin and don't think he's a part of my future, I still don't think I make that trade.
Is there anything else we could throw in for you?
We've got that
Knicks pick. We might consider that or our own first rounder, which I just totally screwed up the bargaining because I would never mention the better asset before the worse one. But could that be enough to get it done for you?
Again, I'm not sure those move the needle for me.
All right. Is there anyone else, any of these bad West teams you want to get in on Blake Griffin?
Denver is interested, but we don't have the assets, so no.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston would certainly put together an offer around Trevor Ariza, you know, one or both of Terrence Jones and Donatus Motiejunas, Corey Brewer, anything else the Clippers wanted, but that's basically a lesser version of the Boston offer to me.
All right, and any of the bad East teams, do you think you got the ammo? None come to mind, but I guess you can always try, right, Dan?
Yeah, I think the Magic are the one who made the push, and if they can't do it, I don't think anybody's gonna really try.
I mean, the other team that would interest me if I could call them up is the GM. Is, you know, I talked about this with Zach Lowe last week. The concept of a mellow for Blake Griffin swap, it allows the Clippers to do, you know, some of the small ball things, some of the four out things, while still having that second creator. I mean, it definitely doesn't help defensively, but Melo and DeAndre Jordan is an interesting front court pairing if he was willing to play the four on a more regular basis than he has in New York.
Well, Knicks here, we checked with Melo and he said under no circumstances would he waive his no trade clause this season. But in the summer, you know, once he's eligible for that high, you know, $8 million-ish trade bonus, we could talk. We'd be interested. But right now, we just can't deal Melo.
All right, we'll table this conversation until then.
All right, Kevin Love. We really are just, we don't think we want to move him, but if there's a great offer out there that gets us better this year, we might consider it, but you're going to have to throw in some pretty good pieces because otherwise it doesn't get us better this year. We already have pretty good depth. It's not like we have huge holes in the roster that we would need to fill. Is there anyone out there who wants to make a move on Kevin Love?
Houston here. We, you know, as discussed with Griffin, are willing to give you Trevor Ariza, who would be a 3-and-D wing, who is perfect for what you guys need if you're going to play small ball against the Warriors in the finals. Your choice of either Ty Lawson or Corey Brewer, And then your choice of Terrence Jones, KJ McDaniels, Donatus Motiejunas, well, any of those three young guys that you would like.
You know, I think the structure of that deal is okay to get a really good wing and try and play smaller, but I don't think that Ariza is quite as good as the guy that we would want, and then none of those young guys really intrigue me a ton. I don't think any of those other guys are really going to help much this year. Lawson doesn't help at all. Brewer is a bad contract. So, no, I would say that Houston probably does not have the ammo.
Would you consider at all, be at all tempted by the idea of trading him for Dwight Howard and playing four out around Howard?
No, because Love actually is going to be at least a fair contract, maybe even a good contract, depending on how you feel about him. We've got him under contract for five more years. Howard, even if we do get him, he's going to demand a full max contract. He'll have us over a barrel in the same way that Tristan Thompson did last year. We'll have no choice but to pay him a contract that's going to be paying him like $35 million when he's 35, the full five-year max, since he's eligible for the 35%. So I really don't want to get stuck with that contract. And then once we get Howard, you know, it kind of makes Tristan Thompson and Timofey Mozgov superfluous. So and those guys are also a big part of our team. So although the thought that is an intriguing thought, I think I would also have to say no on that one.
All right. Well, if you change your mind, Daryl Morey will be here pining for Kevin Love.
Are you ready for another offer?
Yes, absolutely.
Nuggets here. We know that Danilo Gallinari would be a really nice fit for what you're looking for. He's a little bit more of a creator than Love is. He could work in some of your other lineups. We're also willing to take on Anderson Varejao's expensive contract, which is going to really kick your in terms of your luxury tax this year and next year. In order to make the salary work, we kind of have two different paths for you. One path we find would be interesting, that we understand if you don't like it, would involve Wilson Chandler, who probably will not be much of a contributor this year, but is on a below-market value moving forward. Otherwise, we could do something involving Will Barton, other kind of salary filler guys who would be useful but are just more in the depth role like Darrell Arthur.
Will Barton. So it's basically you would do Will Barton and Gallo for Kevin Love?
Yes.
And can you throw in anything else to – I think we're probably there as far as salary matching, but I could use another asset there, and I think I actually would be pretty interested in that if you could throw something else in.
What are you thinking? Like Randy Foy I think would be a really nice fit just as another depth guy on your team.
Yeah, I don't think he really helps us much. You know, Arthur might be a guy that we – assuming he's over this recent injury, which we hope – we'll assume that he will be. He's a guy who could kind of help out defensively. His ability to move his feet would probably really help against the Warriors a little bit if we could even play some center and we could switch everything. So maybe that's a thought, but I'm thinking more in terms of like kind of a younger prospect type of guy to help us keep it rolling once we transition in a new era as LeBron declines.
So the next caliber of guy, if you're looking for somebody young for us, I think is a little bit too much to add into the deal without you adding anything else. However, if you wanted to bring something back our way, something, you know, whether it be a future pick or something, we could talk about Joffrey LeVern or possibly Gary Harris.
Gary Harris would be a real nice fit for us. What else could we throw in for you?
Well, so you don't have any picks, correct, based functionally speaking?
We can offer, we don't have our 2016 first, but we do have 2018 and beyond.
Okay, so 2018 is a little far off for us. So you wouldn't do the deal for Joffrey with adding something even smaller, like a second round pick?
Well, Joffrey would be nice, I guess. So what is the proposal now? We've been kind of going back and forth. It would be Will Barton and Gallo for Kevin Love and Anderson Varejao. And then what else is coming back on either side there?
So then we would add in, I think we would have to add in J.J. Hickson for salary purposes. He's an expiring contract and a wonderful former Cavalier.
Okay.
You could cut him and get a roster spot, and then you could use that for 10 days and rest of the season contracts if you want. I believe that would work.
All right. And are we getting King Joffrey as well in this deal?
So if you're getting King Joffrey as well, I also think that you would need to send us somebody else back, but that would be somebody, it could be somebody small. And then I would say if you're adding him, do you have any second round picks outside of the bottom 10 that you can give us?
We have the less favorable of the Lakers and Minnesota in 2019, and we have none of our own second rounders through 2021.
Let's put it at that for now, but I'm sure you're going to get other offers. So we'll see. I think that's a good foundation.
Yeah, all right, that is not bad. Is there anyone else who wants to make an offer for Kevin Love? I have to say, as an aside, I'm really liking this deal as Cleveland. I think getting Will Barton as a dynamic scorer off the bench, I mean, this is, he's on a fantastic contract. Gallo is probably on maybe a better contract than Kevin Love, also might be a better offensive player than him at this point. We can switch everything now defensively. There's no like taking advantage of Kevin Love in the pick and roll. I think this makes us better and potentially gives us better assets. The only downside is that we don't have Gallo under contract for as long as we would love, and we probably would have to overpay him in 2017. Is there anyone else who can come close to that kind of an offer?
I don't think so. I mean, Portland would be willing to give pretty much anything on the roster besides Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but I don't know.
Yeah,
if
that's not going to get there to make us better this year, I don't think.
I will note that I really wanted to put an offer together as Minnesota, but it just didn't work.
He would be not a terrible fit next to Karl Towns offensively. There would be a lot of shooting in that front court to work in Sam Mitchell's system there. But, yeah, I guess the only other one, which I'm going to have to maybe negotiate against myself here, is Boston. I think, obviously, Jay Crowder would have to be included, I think, if to get Cleveland to bite. And, you know, maybe someone like Marcus Smart and then David Lee to make the salaries work or something. But I think I like that Denver offer better than whatever Boston is going to put together, though Crowder is pretty good defensively and definitely would be a nice matchup for someone like Draymond Green in the finals. And also because I'm uncomfortable dealing with the Chinese wall between two of my own teams, I think I like that Denver offer. Let's get that done. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's a surprise for us too, but for Denver's purposes, having a long-term fit next to their big man group and keeping Jokic, keeping all those guys and Emmanuel Mudiay, that and keeping Gary Harris, I think it makes sense for them.
All right, so where are we here? Let's make sure that this actually works.
Yeah, I've got it in the trade machine. Gallinari, Hickson, Barton, Laverne for Love, Varejao, and Jared Cunningham works.
All right, how much is that going to increase my tax bill?
Decreases your tax bill by $6
million. Oh, yes.
Okay, now I want a little bit more. I didn't realize.
Hey, we already agreed.
No, we didn't.
You got to be able to do the math. Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's,
we
that's
had
fine.
A deal.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You don't really have any other, like, slightly better assets. I mean, yeah, I want Mo Williams for that. Not a big deal.
One more time, what was the final, like, what was the final trade?
So we are giving up Kevin Love, Anderson Varejao, and Jared Cunningham.
Wait, can we make that Sasha Kahn?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sasha Kahn, Kevin Love, and Anderson Varejao, who has 9.4 million guaranteed next year. I'm really happy to get off of that for a team that's probably going to be in the tax again next year.
Were any picks ultimately included in that deal?
A distant second.
Oh, yeah, the 2019 better pick of the Lakers and Minnesota.
All right, then I got that trade in there.
All right, and then I'm getting back Gallo and J.J. Hickson and Will Barton, right, and King Joffrey. Oh, man, that is I am just ecstatic as Cleveland. Golden State can't be happy over there in the West. Bob Myers, you have to be just apoplectic right now at how much better I got. But what do you guys think of those, that deal, the two who are not involved?
I think if you're going to move Love, Gallo makes a lot of sense. I mean, I wasn't really thinking of that going in because I don't see Denver as a buyer, but, you know, it's good value for them. And it definitely, I think it includes the two goals that Cleveland needs to do is, you know, get a stretchier four and get more depth if they are going to trade Love. So this accomplishes both of those.
What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think it makes the fit a little easier for Cleveland. I think in reality, they're going to close stuff down on Love and see if Lou can change the dynamic a little more than they would through a trade. And I really like it for Denver. I think Love is an excellent fit around their young centers, and I think he'll make life and development a lot easier for Mudiay.
Yeah, that's. I mean, Love doesn't quite seem to fit their timeline for me. That would be one concern. But also the fact that he's under contract for four more years after this one, if you really believe in him, if you could believe that he can get back to being who he was in Minnesota, and especially with a point guard who can't shoot that well in Mudiay, that really helps. Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you didn't give up Gary Harris, though, Danny. That
no, I wasn't
really...
going. I wasn't going to.
Yeah. Before we continue on with the mock trade deadline podcast, let me invite you to trade in your old mattress for an upgrade with Helix Sleep. For those who don't know, my process in trying to find sponsors for the show has been to go to companies that I use and enjoy already, and Helix Sleep is absolutely one of them. I sleep on a Helix mattress. My girlfriend did some research and found them because we're kind of different sizes. We have different needs, and we were able to fill out their 2 to 3 minute questionnaire, get a completely customized mattress for us. It's shipped to us in 7 to 10 days, and for our California King, it was only about $1,000, and it's only $600 for some of the smaller sizes. So we've never slept better, and now you can feel the same way by getting $50 off on any size mattress using that familiar sponsor code CAPSPACE, all one word, all in caps. Easy to remember because we talk about CAPSPACE all the time on the show. So go to helixsleep.com, fill out that 2 to 3 minute questionnaire, and you can get a great deal on an incredibly comfortable mattress using that CAPSPACE code. Okay, who is next on the list here?
It was going to be Denver and Dylan Gallinari, but I believe it's not going to be us anymore, and I think it's Atlanta's turn.
Yes. Al Horford, we are just willing to listen to offers on him. We're kind of torn because he's 30 years old. He's a real good player. It's hard to imagine getting enough back here to actually make us as good this year. But on the other hand, he could be a free agent, and either we lose him for nothing or we're going to have to pay him basically a full max starting at $25 million for 5 years probably, going all the way through until he's 34, 35 when he'll be making like $30 million a year. That is going to be a bad contract. So we are definitely willing to listen to some offers, but hopefully anyone who's willing to make an offer for him isn't going to remember what I just said, because once you acquire him, you'll be in the exact same position as we would have been.
All right, well, Houston will start off. We're willing to offer the same Kevin Love package for Horford as well. I mean, it's a little uncertain whether he's a power forward, but I don't know, you know, how long Dwight Howard is going to be a part of our future. So, you know, we're willing to give up the Ariza for plus Lawson or Brewer plus one of the young guys package.
Yeah, Ariza is interesting just because he has 2 more years left. It is a declining contract. He's making like $7 million a year over the next two. So that's the sort of player that we might want to get. On the other hand, we've had great success developing 3-and-D wings. And then one of the young guys is who? That's Demo, Terrence Jones, KJ McDaniels, Sam Decker. Those are the sort of the guys. One of those guys.
Yeah, I think basically the young guys, Montrezl Harrell, I suppose, if you're interested. Any of the young guys besides Clint Capella.
Now, if you're willing to throw in Capella, then we might have a deal. Now we're actually talking, because he would be a fantastic fit next to Millsap in the longer term. Would you be willing to part with Capella?
I would not. I couldn't go that high.
Wow. Okay. Anybody else?
Nick's here. Not sure exactly what you're looking for, but if stability is your game, we could offer Robin Lopez under contract for 3 more years after this. I think he'd fit somewhat well, especially defensively in Atlanta. You can keep
the good
thing up going.
Yeah, we can't get a rebound. That would actually be helpful, like him being a good box out guy. But, you know, he's only kind of a 20-25 minute game player, but please continue.
So, you know, we'd start with him. He'd be the basis of the deal. We're a little lacking at what else we could kick in. We could talk about it if you're interested. But our main motivation is that we think Al Horford would re-sign with us. I mean, we're the Knicks. We're in New York. We're big time. We won't feel quite as concerned as you would. And if not, we'd have some extra cap room. So we're not going to give up Porzingis or anything major. But we'd do something based around Robin Lopez. And, if there's a role player who you think would help you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe like a Lance Thomas type or something would be what I'd ask for. But, it's a really tough situation for Atlanta because you had a ton of success last year. And this is still a team that's good. It's probably got as good a chance of anybody outside of Toronto as getting to the East Finals, you would say. It's a new ownership group. We're not really sure that we're going to be able to get it past the owner to give up Al Horford, who's basically been Mr. Hawk since 2007. You're probably going to have to do a little bit better than that, I would say, if there are any other teams that want to make an offer on him. All right. Next one is also me. Hassan Whiteside. Interesting situation with him. He's a minimum salary now, which makes a trade easier, potentially. If I'm the Heat, I definitely would want to reduce my salary. I'm into the repeater tax now by about $5 million, $6 million or so. And Whiteside, you'll have early bird rights, but we're worried about our ability to re-sign him. We'd have to use cap space. We got big, big plans this offseason. We're not quite sure he fits into the Heat culture. So we want to see if anyone would like to make an offer for him.
Blazers here. We are interested in Hassan Whiteside. We have tons of cap space to re-sign him this summer, so the fact that we don't have full bird rights is not a concern for us. We're willing to send you Mason Plumlee, who's a guy who's going to be at a similar low salary this season and then also next year. And if you don't extend him, the year after that, he has a relatively low cap hold. So that gives you a lot of time to take advantage of the cap space that you could potentially clear. You know you're going to have him for, you know, at least the next season. There's a more guarantee than you have with Hassan Whiteside. And if need be, given, again, all that cap space, we can take some salary off your hands.
Yeah, would you be willing to take Chris Anderson and Udonis Haslem?
I don't think that's a problem for us.
Yeah, that actually just helps you get closer to the salary floor, which actually saves you money. So, which we've talked about on the Northwest Division podcast, if anyone wants to go back and understand how that works. But, oh, that is a tough call. I mean, I do think Plumlee, that's definitely a downgrade for this year for the Heat, for sure. And they've actually started playing better again now. They can make the same argument as the Hawks that they could potentially be in it. You know, Whiteside is someone who could certainly continue to grow, even though he's a little bit of, you know, perhaps an unreliable guy. You know, I mean, you could also make the argument that we could just re-sign him in free agency, although he doesn't seem like the sort of guy who would forgive being traded. Whew.
I mean, are you sure it's even a downgrade? You've played your best basketball this season with Chris Bosh at center.
Yeah, that's true, although we don't necessarily have a ton of wings either. Could you throw in Gerald Henderson? I guess that wouldn't reduce our tax bill as much. I mean, we'd still want to get out of the tax. So it would be pretty close to that. Yeah, Gerald Henderson could be a guy who could help us. We wanted to just continue to play small this year.
I mean, what
anything
about
else you could throw in to sweeten it for us? Mo Harkless? I don't know that he's really a guy who's going to help a real winning team at this point. But he is someone who would have a low cap hole that we could potentially re-sign. So that wouldn't be... So you're saying Mo Harkless instead of Gerald Henderson? Or are you going to throw both those guys in there and maybe take back like Josh McRoberts from us?
We don't want to take back Josh McRoberts because of the fact that we don't necessarily want to, you know, add much more to our salary for next season.
He's only making $5 million for the next 2 years. If you're really going to sign some awesome free agent, you could always just stretch him. You'd be nothing. You'd stretch him over 5 years.
That's valid. But we're bending over a lot in this negotiation. We're, you know, giving up a lot at this point. We've already started with reducing your tax bill immensely. So I don't think we can do that. And we'd much rather do just Harkless than Harkless and Henderson because Henderson has valued other teams.
Now, if this were me, I would be thinking very, very seriously about doing this. If I'm Miami, I don't think so. I think it's just that Whiteside seems to have so much potential. It's a small sample size to say that you've had some of your best basketball without him on the floor, that they've been worse defensively when he's been on the floor. He just seems like such a talent. That's a guy that I think you want to try and leave in the fold. And, you know, it's all, and I think you're still not necessarily better this year without him. Certainly you might be better on average, but maybe you're not better as like an absolute ceiling. Cause if you can really get a force like that playing, like, and that's what you're going to need if you're going to actually beat Cleveland or get into the East Finals. So ultimately as Miami, I'm unfortunately going to have to turn this down, but that was very close. Is there anyone else who wanted to make an offer for us on?
Just want to say you can look forward to our max offer to Hassan Whiteside, 2+1 on the first day of free agency.
He is kind of what the Blazers need, someone who can protect the rim with that pretty bad defensive backcourt, and also a great guy to play pick and roll with those two guys. So I understand why the offer is there. I mean, if you're the Blazers, are you not worried that he just wouldn't re-sign? You figure you're just going to max him out anyway?
A little worried. I mean, you know, certainly if LA comes in with a max offer, I think that's a possibility. But
yeah.
We need to take a swing for the fences. We've got a team that is probably not going to have a high draft pick. This is maybe our best chance of getting a star, we think.
Yeah, I like that thinking for the Blazers. The only problem is they can only offer him like $2 million more than any other team could with the 7.5% raises instead of the 4.5%. But all right, I think unless anybody can beat that offer for Portland, which I don't think they probably can because Portland can really help us out with the luxury tax. Is anyone willing to come close to that offer?
No.
No, that was a very nice offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I may be kicking myself over this one. We'll see.
Oh, you still got the rest of the podcast to accept it.
We didn't have a deal.
Okay, who's next on the list here?
All right, I think the Nets are up with Brook Lopez. Just a little background. I think my strategy for the Nets, I'm glad we got a general manager in place for this podcast. You know, I think they can go a number of directions. I don't know where they're going to go in reality, but the direction I want to take them is I want to use especially Joe Johnson's large expiring contract to bring in some maybe overpriced guys and get some draft picks for 2019 and beyond, back when the Nets get their own, and really try and win as much as possible with some overpaid veterans in the meantime, but set up to tank for that first year that the Nets have their pick back, with one exception. So I'm going to kick off Brook Lopez trade talks by calling one team specifically and making an offer before really opening things up. And the team I'm going to call is the Celtics. And okay, we would trade Brook Lopez for David Lee and our 2018 first-round pick and swap rights back in 2017, erase those. So then we can really – we don't have to wait 2 years in purgatory. You know, we can restart our rebuild. And keep in mind, this is going to make us much worse this year. So you're essentially also trading up in the 2016 draft.
That is an interesting thought. That is a very, very intriguing idea. So the opportunity cost for the Celtics here basically is – those couple of years of awesome draft picks. Brook is probably about fairly paid, especially with under the new economy, only under contract for two more years, though, making about a little over $20 million per season after this one. I'm not sure that he, you know, maybe he helps us a little bit because he provides some more shot creation. He can protect the rim when he's right there. I also worry, though, that defensively he's someone who can be taken advantage of in the playoffs, not a guy who necessarily can stay on the court against all teams. And we are a team that really is chasing championships. That is what our goal is. And we need a superstar. Brook Lopez is a good player, certainly. He'll make us better this year. But he also takes away two bites at the apple. And we also believe that your team, recent GM appointment aside, is so bad that they're just going to continue to give us a ton of great picks. I don't think, other than for a real superstar, which Brook isn't quite there, I don't think that I can give up two of those Nets picks at the very least. Maybe one I might think about, but even then I don't think I will. I think it's just, I want all those bites at the apple at a superstar in the draft, especially the 2017 draft is supposed to be a really good one.
Oh, that's fair enough. If you were willing to talk about just the 2018 pick and maybe meeting in the middle with something a little less valuable than erasing those swap rights in 2017, we'd talk, but it sounds like if you're not willing to do one pick, it sounds like this isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I just don't think Brook Lopez is that good. Like, that's not the guy that I want to, especially given his potential health considerations as well. The fact that we don't have under contract for that long, I still think as the Celtics, at some point, either one of two things will happen. Either I will have the best assets to go grab a superstar with those picks, or one of those picks will turn into a superstar. And so I'm just not willing to punt on that quite yet. Maybe that could come back to haunt me, but we swing for the fences in Boston.
Hey, fair enough. I just got stuck with this guy. So all right. I'll open it up. If there are any other teams outside of Boston, we thought they'd be a particular fit with their need for a center and a little more shot creation. But if there's anybody else around the league, we're not willing to sell low on him. We think he can help us be decent, and when you don't have your draft pick, there's something to winning 30 games rather than 20. So we'd like to keep him and be decent, but if somebody has an offer, and we're particularly, this could appeal to some teams, we're particularly looking for draft picks down the line, you know, 2019 and beyond. We're not really looking for immediate help through young players.
Yeah, I mean, as the GM of the good East teams, I just don't think that Brook Lopez puts any of my teams over the top this year as far as beating Cleveland. That's one of the biggest things that we need. You've got these two historically great teams. If he were just a little bit better defensively, I might think about it more, but I just don't think he's that good ultimately.
Fair enough.
West,
anybody out west?
You know, no, I mean, Portland could be in the market for a center, but I don't see him as enough of an upgrade on Mason Plumlee to really justify that. Houston, there could be some interest if just we want to get off that Dwight Howard contract and let Brooklyn pay his next contract. But again, I don't think Lopez is the right fit for us.
Yeah, and this just shows that kind of that good scoring, kind of slow center. If you're really trying to win at the highest levels, it's, you know, I think it's hard to do that with a guy like that. And, you know, that those, a guy like, you know, he can help you get to 40 wins. I don't know if he can help you get to 60 wins.
And
let me call up a reporter real quick and leak that the Rockets were considering a Dwight Howard for Brook Lopez trade, because that should raise his stock.
They had discussions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there have been a lot of discussions.
I was going to say, you know, there's a part of me as the Lakers and the Suns that would just be conceptually interested because he's a good player. But I don't think for the Suns, they already have Tyson Chandler. So unless we can move him in something else, and also they have draft assets, but it's just not really a good fit. And the Lakers, he just doesn't fit their timeline. But as a pure conceptual matter, he'd be interesting.
All right, Jeff Teague with the Atlanta Hawks. He is on a very reasonable contract, making $8 million this year, $8 million next year, all-star last year. But we also think maybe we could use an upgrade. Again, it's kind of the same situation as Horford where, you know, we'd like to get kind of a bunch of guys back who maybe could help us. We don't think that he's that great just internally. So, and maybe we can at least turn the keys over to Schroeder, let him, if we don't get a point guard back, find out for sure whether he's the point guard of the future or not before we have to extend him next year. That's kind of the thinking, but it's going to take a good offer for him. Is anyone willing to do that?
Nets here. Does any of our garbage appeal to you? We'd love to have a point guard.
I'm trying to think.
What
about Rondae Hollis Jefferson?
No, he's Hollis Jefferson and McAuliffe are pretty much off the board.
Okay. I think we would want back a first-round pick and another player, ultimately. I mean, this is just throwing it out there. Not saying this to you,
to rub it in.
New Nets GM.
Hit me where it hurts.
Hey, you could trade us 2020. That's probably too far out in the future, though.
Swap rights in 2019.
Yeah.
Jazz here, we're not necessarily, we think that your price is a little bit high. We're not going to trade any of our best players. However, we do have cap flexibility to take him in case you wanted what would be a trade exception, and we could offer you Golden State's first round pick next year, if that's enough for you. But we're not willing to offer any of our better players because Teague doesn't particularly fit our timeline. But if that's enough for you, then let's talk.
Could we build a package around Dante Exum and...
No.
No,
no,
not doing it. He has a torn ACL. You don't know what he's going to be yet. All right.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Anybody else? Jeff Teague. You know, it's going to take something that's pretty good because we're almost certainly going to get worse this year without him. Another one, Indiana, George Hill. He is a pretty good spot-up shooter, combo guard, good defender, reasonable contract, same as Teague, basically $8 million a year, expires at the end of 2017 when he will be 31. We want to try and compete this year. We still think that we can at least make it into the second round, potentially. But we are willing now, especially with the emergence of Miles Turner, to maybe kind of push back the timeline a little bit to where, you know, Paul George is still only like 25. So to where we could get maybe a younger point guard option, another wing, someone like that is what we'd be in the market for. But again, you know, it's going to have to be pretty good. I think I don't know that we necessarily... I mean, we'd want a younger point guard and a pick or a wing and a pick.
Well, Rockets here. We can't really necessarily match your needs unless you're interested in KJ McDaniels. But we think that a stretch four might be a good option for you next to Miles Turner. And we'd like you to consider Donatas Mateunas. And we could give you, in addition to him, either Ty Lawson, if you want to throw in a little more salary, or Patrick Beverley, who has an excellent declining contract for the next 4 years.
So it's George Hill for Demo and either Lawson or Beverly.
Yeah.
You know what? If Demo were healthy and he had incrementally improved from last year, I would think very seriously about that. But the fact is we haven't seen him on the court hardly at all. His shooting, yeah, he took a little bit of a step forward last year, but I'm not sure I'm buying him as either a stretch or necessarily a four. I think he's more of a combo big at best there. So I don't think that is quite enough to get it done, because I think we will take a step back this year without George Hill. We need him.
KJ McDaniels, Terrence Jones, anyone else interest you? Sam Decker?
Well, I think we'll talk about them more a little bit later. Suns here, are you interested in either Markieff Morris or PJ Tucker as being a part of this deal? Or both?
Yeah, sure, we could be. But what can you do with George Hill? You already have two point guards on the roster and two shooting guards.
We're just having an exploratory conversation for right now. But we
don't waste my time, Ryan McDonough.
Hey, you know that we're willing to take on extra point guards if we think it's a good deal.
Anyone else for George Hill? How about Utah? What are you willing to, Dante Exum again? You would be willing to move him for George Hill?
No, we're not willing to make that move yet. The problem with George Hill is that while we think he has a good contract now, he's a little bit older and he's a free agent. And as Utah, we are very reluctant to add players who are going to be free agents very soon. And so giving up the team control on Dante Exum or really any of our good young players, we're not particularly interested. It's very similar to the issue that we have with Jeff Teague. We're not even necessarily sure we like George Hill that much better.
Is there anything else that we could throw in other than Miles Turner to make that worth your, or Paul George to make that worth your while?
No.
Okay. Anybody else for George Hill?
Nick's here. If you're gearing toward winning now, would Aaron Aflalo, Jose Calderon, and maybe one mid-level role player, maybe somebody in the Lance Thomas range, interest you at all?
No, I think that actually makes us worse this year, so I that doesn't really interest me. All right, are we at Cricket's time on George Hill here?
Yeah.
Unless you want any of the Nets garbage.
Are we just going to have that on every question? Yeah, it's just like the Nets garbage?
The Nets are banging down every door for a point guard. We'll leave no stone unturned.
Yeah, I mean, again, like if you're willing to throw in Rondé Nets, then we could talk. But I don't
know.
No,
really just the garbage.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think, and we see these guys like Teague, Hill. I think it's pretty realistic, even Whiteside, Horford. Most of the time, these guys are going to want to just teams that are already in the playoffs generally are not going to make themselves worse, even if these guys are pending free agents. But, you know, it's worth kicking the tires on because for some of these next 2 years are going to be crazy. There are going to be some crazy contracts being given out. So maybe if you can kind of get a younger asset, I don't think Indiana is a championship team, but unless we can get like a guy who we think is a pretty good stud who's younger than Hill, it doesn't really work for us. All right, who's next?
The powerful New Orleans Pelicans are looking, we're considering offers for Jrue Holiday. We, as you will hear for us in a couple different capacities, we are looking both for assets and for, you know, for present players and assets, you know, draft picks and things like that. And also, we are, if you don't have that, we're looking for a taker for Omer Asik's contract. So we would prefer players and assets, but if that's all you can do, we will listen as well.
Rockets here. We're interested in both Jrue Holiday and Ryan Anderson and willing to send you KJ McDaniels, Terrence Jones, and Donatas Motiejunas, in addition to Ty Lawson's non-guaranteed contract for next year, which will enable you to save some money as compared to Holiday's contract in exchange for those two guys.
We don't think that's nearly enough for both of them. However, that structure might work for a single one should you be interested in one of them. That's not enough for us to give away both those guys, especially considering we have another year of Jrue, and I'm sure the trade market for Ryan Anderson will be robust.
Well, do you want to talk about Ryan Anderson now?
I would prefer not to.
Okay.
anybody else for Jrue Holiday? I'm trying to think of if any of my teams...
For the record, Jrue for Teague works straight up, even though Jrue makes a little bit more.
Yeah.
But we can table that for later.
Cavaliers, if we traded you Anderson Varejão for Asik, could we also then, and then we would get, you know, so you're dumping Asik now, basically, the last 2 years of his contract at $10 million apiece. He's been terrible. That's almost basically a sunk cost. But he also gives us some insurance if Timofey Mozgov leaves in free agency this year. Is there anything else that we could throw in that would interest you? I think that Jrue could be like a really nice fit as a combo guard next to Kyrie defensively. We could throw in Iman Shumpert, who's under contract for longer, a 3-and-D guy that, you know, could fit your timeline a little bit better. Just because he's under contract for longer, you're going to have trouble getting free agents. What would you think about something like that?
What about Will Barton? You just got him.
That we did. You know, I don't know that I think I like Will Barton better. Just he's actually under contract for longer, and he's only making $3 million. So, I don't think that that's really a great idea for us.
Iman Shumpert is a good player, but I don't think he's good enough for us to give up the guy who's going to run our offense. And the problem for us with Cleveland is that you don't really have any other sweeteners. Like, I think that that's close, but not close enough to get a deal done. And if you're not willing to include somebody like Will Barton, I mean, if you want to, because the only other sweeteners you have would probably be Joffrey Laverne. And that is, again, is probably not enough to make it happen.
Boston here, we've got a treasure trove of picks. And we could give you back David Lee for salary matching. What kind of picks would you want? I mean, we've got those Brooklyn picks. We wouldn't be willing to give up those. But we've got Dallas's 2016 pick. We have our own 2016 pick. We have Memphis's pick, which is likely won't convey until 2019, but it's only 1 through 8 protected then and goes down to 1 through 6 in 2020 and unprotected in 2021.
So the core of what you're saying is David Lee and it's David Lee and the picks for Drew Holiday and Omer Asik?
No, we would not be taking back Asik.
This is just
a
for...
Picks for Holiday, essentially.
Picks for Holiday and David Lee's wonderfully horrendous contract.
We could maybe take a little more bad salary out. Like, if we wanted to give us, like, a Ginta or somebody, another guy who's just kind of, you know, there for a while. But Asik is too much to bear. We want to make some moves in free agency this year. And, you know, maybe actually, you know, now that I think about it more, he is pretty redundant with some of our guys, and that could hurt our cap space. But we also feel like maybe we could flip him or flip one of our other guys. I think he's just, you know, someone who could help. But I don't know. Actually, the more I think about it, maybe that's not a great idea. But would you even be interested in that anyway?
That I think that is the core of an interesting deal, but it would need to be one of the better ones of those offered. I was even thinking a combination, and we send you something small back, you know, so like maybe two of those assets, like let's say the worst of the two picks of the two present picks, the Memphis pick, and then we'll send you back a second.
You know what? I'm going to bail out on this. We got big dreams in free agency this year. He's a little bit too unreliable. He's too redundant with some of our guys. I thought it could be like a nice Isaiah Thomas style asset grab, but ultimately, I think we probably have to pass on that.
Okay. Anybody else interested in Drew Holiday?
Nets here. we are interested in Omer Asik, and we would trade you Thaddeus Young, Jarrett Jack, and Karasev just for matching purposes. We're near the tax. We're not going to pay the tax for this team. And all you have to do is throw in Holiday. You get Asik off your books.
So,
and I think Thaddeus Young would be a nice fit with Anthony Davis, you know, over the next few years.
He would be a decent fit, but it doesn't work super well with our timeline. We really like Drew Holiday, and we feel that even if it's few picks in that sense, that they fit more with what we're doing. Losing Asik is fine, but that contract isn't going to look as bad with time. So we think you got closer than I ever expected, but sorry.
Bulls here. We've got Sacramento pick that is protected 1 through 10 this year, 1 through 10 next year, then turns into a second rounder. We could give you Joakim Noah, who's making a little bit more than Holiday is. Get him back. We'd have a good backup for Derrick Rose, who could also shoot and play alongside him. Would you be willing to do that?
Would you be willing to include one of your young players? And for that specifically, we're speaking of Snell, McDermott, or Bobby Portis?
Yeah, we'll throw in Snell. Sure.
You'll throw in Snell?
Yeah.
Theoretically, would you be interested in Alexei Ginter, or would that be something you would need something else for? Because I think he's somebody who is not that expensive. He's a nice utility piece for you.
Well, we're also trying to reduce the tax bill by getting rid of Noah, who's making more than Holiday is, as I recall. So I don't think that would be something that we're interested in. I don't see him. He's as a good contract. He's got three more years at $4 million apiece or so after this year.
So what concerns us a little bit about the Kings pick is just how it reverts. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting
that concerns us as well. That's why we're willing to trade it.
Yeah. Is there anything you can do to assure us that to maybe sweeten it in case it does revert, giving us something in addition, like an extra pick?
Or three. We have all of our own second rounders except 2016. So
well, and it wouldn't revert until then anyways. It wouldn't have reverted.
Yeah, so maybe we could throw in our 2017 second rounder. That's probably as far as I'm willing to go though.
It's an interesting offer, but the problem with it is that pick right now, I believe the Kings have the ninth worst record. They just had
jackass on Twitter hadn't just tweeted that out right now.
Well, as somebody who is well affiliated and loves pick protection, that was something I'm affiliated. I understand. I've been watching anyway, but we do appreciate any extra information.
All right. So, are you willing to do it or not?
No, but it's unfortunate that the protection is as rigid as it was. If it was slightly different, we would do it.
All right. Just as an aside,
that's a really interesting offer. It's just that the uncertainty, because then you're like, you could possibly walk away from that with basically nothing if you're the Pelicans.
Well, it's interesting though. Is there anyone else you wanted to offer for Drew Holiday before we move on? We really need a sounder for that. Pau Gasol, who is presumably, it would have to be someone who's a contender. He's going to be, he can opt out of his contract, making about $7 million or so, $8 million or so over the next year, but he's likely going to opt out of that. Does anybody want him? Wow. That, no contenders interested in Pau Gasol. Let me
What about your contenders?
Yeah, I know. I have to go back through my own teams and figure out. You know, I mean, Gasol falls into the same category as Brook Lopez, really. You know, they're very similar players to me at this point. Maybe Gasol has slightly more mobility, but not much. You know, neither of them are great defensive rebounders. They can both shoot the ball. Lopez is probably a little bit better player than Gasol is at this point, but not a ton.
I think the other thing that's going to come up here, and as we lead up to the deadline, is just how many teams need centers. There's more centers that are available, I think, than there are teams that are interested.
Yeah, that's, you know, how about, I mean, I might say maybe like Miami and try to get Whiteside back if you're the Bulls, but he's not really a Bulls character guy, and you're still in the same problem of having to overpay him. They want to use cap space next year too, and you don't have much of an advantage trying to sign him.
Portland would be happy to jump in there if you're interested in Mason Plumlee.
So your idea is you're just trying to make the playoffs this year with Gasol?
Wait, no. Portland would jump in for Whiteside.
Oh, I get what he's saying.
A three-team trade.
You guys could both reduce your tax bills.
Oh, that is really interesting.
Okay, so Chris Anderson, Udonis Haslem, Hassan Whiteside to Portland, Pau Gasol to Miami, Mason Plumlee to Chicago is a workable framework.
Okay.
What's the net for Miami?
Miami ends up netting out. I think they save about $1.5 million. They don't get under the tax, but.
Yeah, I mean, as the Bulls and Miami, we are willing to do that if we can structure it in a way to get us both under the tax.
All right, so
I have Josh McRoberts.
Yeah, I would have to take on Josh McRoberts at that point.
But, so what about Haslem and Chris Anderson?
They're already in.
I've already got
them. Oh, they're already in, okay.
If you add in McRoberts, now you're shedding $7 million and you're starting out $5.7 million over the tax, so that would work.
Yeah. I am $4.3 million over the tax as Chicago. Does the difference between Gasol and Plumlee's salary get me there?
Yeah, that's $6 million. That gets you there easily.
Excellent. Okay, and then what is it for Miami?
Miami saves $7 million.
And they are $5.6 million over the tax. So they get out of it, too. They get out of the repeater tax.
Yep.
Yeah, that's we got that one.
Outstanding. All right.
So the one hitch is Portland's taking in four players and giving up one. So you got to include three more guys or pick who you're going to cut right before.
Yeah, we're going to waive Tim Frazier, Luis Montero, and Cliff Anderson, Alexander. So apologies to the end of our bench.
Well, either of the trading teams interested in taking on those guys?
I think the Bulls could take at least one of them. We'll take Cliff Alexander back, Chicago guy. Maybe he's got some bounce, a little potential. Maybe he can find himself here at home. And then for the Bulls, all right, fine. Bairstow or Felicio, those guys.
Miami is trading all these guys.
Yeah. So we can dump Cristiano Felicio, as Kim Bairstow actually started for us tonight in Denver. So Portland gets
Hassan Whiteside, Josh McRoberts, Chris Anderson, and Udonis Haslem.
All right, and Chicago is going to get Cliff Alexander and Mason Plumlee. And we are going to send out Pau Gasol to Miami, and both of us now are getting out of the tax. And I think Miami probably feels like they are going to improve this year with Gasol over Whiteside. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but they probably would feel that way. And the Bulls, we are now having a decent center under contract for cheap for another year. Gives us insurance in case Noah decides to leave. And we are now out of the tax, which makes Jerry Reinsdorf very happy.
That's nice. A three-way deal that everyone's happy with.
Wow. So what do you guys think of that from afar?
Not a huge fan of it for the Heat, although I guess getting under the tax is pretty big in a year. They'd be the repeater. But I don't know. I think I'm a little higher on Whiteside than most. And I think you're better off just riding out the season with him. And obviously in the long term, he's going to be better. So you're making your choice now, and I'm not sure that gets you enough.
I like it better for the Heat than for the Bulls necessarily, though, because they, and I'm sort of imparting their luxury tax aversion into the thinking here, maybe a little bit more than I should, but maybe I think I would probably, it would have been better to have a first rounder. I should have held out for at least a, you know, Portland second or something else. But Portland is a little impacted on their first rounders anyway, and probably wouldn't have wanted to give it up. So, I guess it kind of all depends what you think of Mason Plumlee. I think it's just the concern about not having a center. Now we can go out into the free agent market with our starting center basically costing nothing, who we think will be okay. It's all about setting up for 2016 now. We don't have to worry about center. Maybe we could even re-sign Noah for relatively cheap on like a prove-it contract after the shoulder injury. And now we can go in and get another wing, a power forward, whatever. We've got a lot of flexibility to just go after whoever will come there, and we could still have, you know, about $20 million or so in space, not counting Noah. So it's really setting up for 2016.
I'm fascinated on it from a Portland perspective just because it does seem like an interesting use of their space. At the same time, I totally see the logic because, I mean, it gives you a better chance with a guy like Hassan Whiteside than you ever would have had otherwise.
Yeah, and the teams like the Warriors, the Clippers, anybody else trying to get under the tax is not happy now. How much of your space have you used now, Portland?
Well, we're only 1.1 million below the salary floor, but we still have 8 million in cap space, so.
Ah, very good for Portland. Yeah, they could still pick up potentially another asset. Wow, that was exciting, guys. Three-way trade.
And we could clear a further 6 million if we do end up trading Gerald Henderson.
Ah, that's a good point. Although I don't think anybody can take him without sending salary back either, so.
Right.
That might be kind of difficult. All right. Brooklyn, you're going to try to make another futile attempt at a deal?
Yeah, why not? I'm pretty sure this is going to go similar to Brook Lopez, although maybe there'll be a little more interest. Same type of thinking. You know, we don't want to take a step back in the short term, though we would for the right long-term assets, and maybe it would appeal to somebody. Again, we're not looking for draft picks next year or the year after or even the year after that. You know, we're looking 2019 and beyond. We want to build up a stock for once we can actually rebuild in earnest. So we're going to throw Thaddeus Young out there and see if there are any takers.
So he is $12 million basically over the next 3 years after this one. Does he have a player option? He has a player option on that last year, right? So it's basically two more years, $12 million. Maybe he ends up not taking that player option, though.
He does have a 15% trade kicker.
You know, Rockets might have some interest here potentially, but definitely not before we move along in this process.
Memphis has interest, but we don't have the right assets for you.
Yeah, I think there are some other teams maybe that might have some interest in him, but kind of see what else is out there first. Ryan Anderson might be a guy who needs to go first. In Toronto, meanwhile, we are shaking our heads at that Cavaliers deal that we never got a chance to get in on Gallo. We felt like we maybe could have come up with a better deal, that we didn't have anyone as good as Kevin Love, so it would have to have been more draft picks, and it sounds like that's not what Denver was interested in, despite Tim Connelly just getting a contract extension. He still went for it anyway.
To Houston, not that we put a lot of value on Ty Lawson here in Brooklyn, but I'm sure we have more use for him than anybody else. So if there's something larger that Thaddeus Young would be a part of, we'd be one of the teams that wouldn't mind taking Ty Lawson back, just FYI.
I will keep that in mind.
All right, who else you got here, guys?
New Orleans here. We've already talked about one of our guys, but Tyreke Evans is another interesting player. He's got another year on his contract. He can be a creator for your offense. There aren't that many of those who don't defend point guards. And his contract, in our opinion, we think it's reasonable. We're not, again, like Drew Holiday, we're not gunning to move him, but if there was an offer that moved us, we could talk about it.
You know, none of my good East teams, really, I don't think he helps us that much. Can't shoot. The knee problems are a real concern as well. I don't think that there's really, I mean, you know, unless you wanted to just kind of dump him, you know, I don't think there's any of my teams that would be interested. Is that what you're trying to do?
We are not looking to dump him. We are looking to keep him. If that's the case, then I think we can get something for him next summer that would be better than dumping him.
We are not willing to take him unless you're willing to make a terrible trade.
Oh, so it's the Brooklyn. It's the Brooklyn scenario then.
All right. So crickets for Tyreke. And what about the Good West teams?
No, I don't think he really fits any of our needs. He's not someone that we're looking at.
All right.
We're looking for 3 and D guys.
So Hawks here, we already made Jeff Teague available. What about Dennis Schroeder
Jazz here, we're interested in him conceptually, but we worry about his flaws kind of being magnified by our team just because his shooting isn't as reliable. So what we wanted to do is just touch base with you to see what you're prioritizing, because we have cap space, which is nice, and we have some we're not going to give you our best draft assets, but we could give you something a little bit distant, like the Warriors pick next year. But we just wanted to know what you're prioritizing in terms of shooter.
Well, that Warriors pick isn't that great. We would do it for your pick this year and that Warriors pick next year.
That's too much for us.
What about just for you? And I'm not sure I would do this, but I'm just spitballing here to kind of get a range. What about just your pick this year?
The issue is that Schroeder is closer. He's closer to hitting where he's going to get expensive. His timeline doesn't perfectly fit with that. If we use our pick, even if it's a guy who's slightly inferior, possibly, we would get somebody who's a little bit more aligned with us. And while Schroeder is an interesting player, his ceiling doesn't really fit perfectly with this team. So we could do the Warriors pick and something else smaller, but it wouldn't be something bigger than that.
Yeah, and I don't think he makes a ton of sense for the Jazz because they still have Exum as really the point guard of the future. So you're looking for a point guard who's going to make you much better this year, and I don't know if that is
exactly
necessarily Schroeder. Is there anyone else who might be interested in Dennis Schroeder?
Nets here. never mind. I'm not even going to try.
That is a great time to end part one of the Mock Trade Deadline podcast. Be sure to listen to part two, which should be posting very shortly as well. Till then.